Support for this KQED podcast comes from Stanford Blood Center. Stanford Blood Center is a proud supporter of KQED and encourages you to support local patients by donating blood. Learn more at bloodcenter.stanford.edu.
Good morning. I'm Queena Kim, and this is the California Report. Electric bills for millions of Californians could be going up, depending on what state regulators decide tomorrow. They're voting on a major overhaul of electricity prices, and as KQED science reporter Lauren Summer tells us, consumer groups and solar companies are pushing back.
First, let's start with electricity prices. And let's face it, most of us have no idea what we pay. Let's see. There's four prices for electricity. That's my PG&E bill. First price is tier one, 16 cents, but then the price goes up. The more electricity you use, the more expensive it gets, until you're paying 33 cents per kilowatt hour. Here's PG&E spokesman Greg Snapper.
This is an outdated system by which energy is paid for.
PG&E, along with Southern California Edison and San Diego Gas and Electric, had proposed flatter rates, just two prices, plus a fixed monthly charge of $10. They said it would help pay for keeping up the electric grid. But consumer groups pushed back on the fixed monthly charge, saying it would hurt low-income families. And solar companies weren't too keen on it either. Brad Hebner is with the California Solar Energy Industries Association.
A fixed charge does not help solar customers in any way because you can't avoid it by generating your own electricity.
Regulators at the California Public Utilities Commission seem to have heard those concerns. Late last night, they released a proposal that took the fixed charge off the table. At tomorrow's meeting, they'll still vote on new electricity prices, which will be phased in by 2019. For the California Report, I'm Lauren Summer.
Former state senator Leland Yee faces up to 20 years in prison after pleading guilty to a racketeering charge yesterday. Yee, an advocate of gun control while in office, admitted to promising undercover FBI agents he would import guns from the Philippines. He also said he would take money for political favors, and in some instances, he actually took the money. The former San Francisco lawmaker is one of 28 people charged as part of a wide-ranging FBI investigation, and he's expected to be sentenced in October. We've been hearing a lot about how California is rebounding from the Great Recession, but there's still large parts of the state that have yet to see a recovery. Case in point, small towns in the Central Valley, where the California Report's Sasha Coca says some small towns are canceling their fireworks shows to save money.
Ron Lander is a city councilman in the cash-strapped Fresno County town of Coalinga. He figures the city will save $15,000 without a fireworks show.
Talking about layoffs or fireworks, I think we want to be able to keep our people employed. Unfortunate situation, but that's the way it had to be.
And that's the way it has been on the 4th of July for the past 7 years in Stockton. But this year, as Stockton emerges from bankruptcy, there will be some sparkle in the sky again. The city and some private citizens, along with the local baseball team, are all pitching in, says city spokeswoman Connie Cochran.
Have sacrificed a lot over the last several years, and I think this is a perfect combination because it's a contribution by the local community. It's everyone coming together to share resources and be able to have that tradition in our community once again.
One California city that's canceling its fireworks show, but not for economic reasons, Cupertino in the Silicon Valley. City leaders there say the football field where they usually hold the show requires too much water during the drought. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca.
Proponents of a bill to legalize physician-assisted suicide in California have been enlisting some big names to their cause. Among them, the union organizer Dolores Huerta and the actor Edward James Olmos. They're both Latino, and that's no coincidence, because supporters of the bill hope they'll help win the votes of a small band of Latino lawmakers who oppose it. The California Report's health reporter April Domboski has more.
There are 19 members of the Assembly Health Committee, and authors need 10 of them to vote yes on their bill. It would allow doctors to prescribe lethal medication to terminally ill patients who request it. But there's a small, unusual group of holdouts, all Democrats, all from Southern California, and almost all of them Latino. Author Senator Bill Monning says he's willing to negotiate, but no one has asked for any specific changes to the bill.
I'm a bit confounded at the resistance of some members of the Assembly Health Committee.
The Archbishop of Los Angeles would like to take some credit for the resistance. His staff ramped up advocacy efforts recently, urging Southern California lawmakers on the committee to reject the bill, mainly on socioeconomic grounds.
How is that going to impact the poor here? How is that going to impact people of color?
That's the Archdiocese legislative advocate, Andrew Rivas. He says the church fears low-income people will be pressured to take life-ending drugs instead of pursuing more expensive, life-prolonging treatments.
We think that those decisions are going to be made on a financial basis.
Several of the holdouts on the health committee echoed these concerns, though none agreed to a radio interview. In a statement, Assemblymember Jimmy Gomez from Los Angeles says he was a primary caregiver to his father, an immigrant who spoke limited English, while he was dying of pancreatic cancer. Gomez says he is reviewing studies on how the bill may impact low-income, minority communities before he decides how to vote. So now the bill supporters are trying to reframe assisted suicide as a civil rights issue.
This is about respecting the choices of the people we love the most.
That's Luis Alejo, a co-author of the bill and head of the Latino Caucus. The caucus has not taken a position on the bill, but Alejo says families need more options. His own father has terminal cancer.
Now that he is ill and he's in pain, I want to make sure that his wishes are respected when that time comes.
If the bill gets through the Assembly Health Committee next Tuesday, it still faces at least two more votes in the legislature. For the California Report, I'm April Demboski.
And that's the California Report for Thursday, July 2nd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Queena Kim. This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. Wharton San Francisco, where executives can pursue an MBA immersed in the unique Bay Area ecosystem and access Wharton's globally connected network. Learn more at wharton.upenn.edu. And Digital Foundry, building digital capabilities for leading organizations around the world. More online at digitalfoundry.com.